heal my body. God did it. Nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. He healed me. He healed me. He healed my body. He healed my body. He healed my body. Nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. J-E-S. U-S. Oh! My God did it. I was so sick. God came and he healed my body. I know he did. Oh, yes, he did. My God did it. My God did it. Who did it? Who did it? I know God did it. He healed me. He healed me. Oh, yes, he did. Yeah, 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 yeah. My God did it. My God did it. My God did it. I know he did. He picked me up and he turned me around. He healed me. He healed me. I know he did. I know he did. I know he did. I know he did. He picked me up and he turned me around. He gave me my health. He gave me my health. He healed me. He healed me. He healed my body. He healed my body. I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one. He healed you. You. Yeah. My God did it. My God did it. He healed me. I know he did. I know he did. I know he did.
It's all right to give God some praise in the house. It's all right to get on your feet and give God some praise.
Oh, Lordy.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Oh, bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Bless his name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Bless his name.
Everything that happens to me that was good, God did it all. Didn't need my help. He didn't need your help. Neither did he need our advice on how to do it for us. Didn't he do it, church? Hey, amen. Give God a hand of praise.
Hallelujah.
You may take your seats just for a quick moment. Just for a quick moment. Just a couple of announcements that was missed. Don't want to leave nothing out. The funeral services of Deacon Nesmith's nephew will be Tuesday at Peace Baptist with the wake starting at 10 o'clock. Okay. Next here, we have a thank you card. Blessed are the givers and grateful are the receivers. Thank you so much for your prayers, calls, and well wishes sent to me during my illness. God is still in charge of my life, and he knows what is best for me. Love you all. Mother Marva Smith. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand of praise. I have to ask us this question. How many of us think we're going to go to heaven anyhow? Ain't none of us going to heaven anyhow. How many believe that they have a right to see tomorrow? None of us do. But we have to live in faith that God is still in charge. We have to live in faith that God knows what's best for us. Even though we may not be here, we know that God's word will be here. Amen, everybody? And how far we've come, we can only owe that to nobody but God. Hallelujah. Yes, I turned 50, and I'm not trying to get deep this morning. But I can testify this one thing. There's an old song that said, millions didn't make it, but I'm one of the ones who did. I can't get no help in here today. As we look back over these last couple of years, there's a whole lot of people that didn't make it. There's a whole lot of people that were sick that didn't make it. A lot of people that had bad things that happened in their lives that didn't make it. A lot of good people that did no wrong but are not here today. There are some children that are not here today. It's not because we done something so wonderful. They didn't make it, but we are here. Let's give God some praise for that this morning. I want to thank you all for all of your birthday wishes. And I had a whole bunch of people calling me up and singing me happy birthday. Amen. I'm not worried about how, if you were in tune or not, it was from your heart. Amen. And I thank you for you calling me, wishing me a happy birthday. Thank my wife for taking care of me on these past couple of days. And my son making sure that I had an awesome time. Amen. Because we don't get these days back. Amen. And we have to learn how to be grateful and appreciative for every day. Every day ain't going to be promised. Every day ain't promised. But as you get the day, we have to learn how to appreciate that day. Amen. Amen. So I want you all to help me with one little song. And it's a song that everyone knows that is Amazing Grace. Because it is amazing grace. It is grace that kept us. That's grace that has brought us. And it is grace that will lead us on. Amen. If you don't mind standing to your feet one more time and help me with Amazing Grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once, come on, church, was lost, but now I was blind. Hallelujah. But now I see. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Lift those voices. Praise God.
Look God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Oh.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God.
God.
Praise God.
Help us, Jesus.
Praise God.
Yes, God.
Praise God. One more time, one more time, one more time. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Give it to him.
Praise God.
Give it to him.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise
God.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Bless your name. Praise God. My God, my God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come this morning. We want to say thank you, God. We say praise God. We say we honor you today, God. God, we honor you for the day that you've given us that we didn't deserve. We thank you for the day that you gave us that we really couldn't even pray for. We thank you, oh God, because when you gave us the day, you gave us everything new in the day. You gave us new mercy. You gave us new blessings. And you gave us new grace, God. God, you gave us new grace today. Grace that covered everything. God, we want to thank you for the grace today. God, and you gave us forgiveness of our sins, God. We thank you, oh God, for keeping us with your keeping power. Father God, we didn't know what to ask for when you kept us, but you knew just how to keep us, so you kept us. And God, and with all the things that's going on in the world today, we might not have lived so holy. So God, we want to thank you for giving us one more day, God. Hallelujah. Thank you for giving us one more day to get this thing right today. Many have gone before us. But God, but we are still here. Father God, we love you today. Father God, we thank you for your amazing grace. Father God, if we had receipts, we couldn't prove why we needed grace. We couldn't prove why you decided to give us your grace. Even if we came with a fantastic resume, we couldn't give enough evidence to show why we need your grace. But God, but we want to say thank you for your grace today. Your grace that we thank you for, because God, it covers our children. It covers our family. It covers our neighbors. It covers our enemies. It covers our faults. It covers our mistakes. It covers us, God. And God, we just want to tell you, thank you today for your grace, God. Father God, we love you and we thank you. Now, God, I ask you, God, as always, God, if the atmosphere ain't right, allow your Holy Ghost to shift the atmosphere. Shift it, oh God. Shift the atmosphere. For as your word comes forth, oh God, somebody may not just hear it, but eat from it, oh God. Father God, let your word come, oh God, that the bread of life that's in your word, oh God, that they, when they get it, oh God, they feast on it, oh God. We talk about the week, but God, I'm talking about today. Help us to feast on today, because your word says tomorrow is not promised. Allow your Holy Ghost, oh God, to move in this place.
Hallelujah.
Change the minds, change the hearts. Get our minds ready to receive your word. In your Son, Jesus' name, have Daniel flew under decrease, but have Jesus Christ increase to your people in word, indeed, power, and in sight. Glory, hallelujah. Give God some praise in here. I want us to please turn to Acts chapter 20, giving honor to God who is the head of my life, his Son Jesus, and to the precious Holy Spirit, to all of the ministers, deacons, trustees, ushers, to all of our family and friends, everyone in respective places, my wife, Mother Parker, everybody, ushers, everybody, people out there on Facebook, people across the world, just everybody. Give you honor, but we have to give God the most honor.
He is the one that is due all of our praises. Let us start at the first verse. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples, embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia and there accompany him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, Gaius of Derbe, Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. We're going to stop right there. Very briefly, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be talking about know your company. Know your company. You may take your seats. Know your company. Hallelujah. Know your company. Amen. By me saying that phrase, know your company, it is like an idiom. What is an idiom? An idiom is a phrase or a group of words that is used to describe a particular meaning. Amen. Like, for example, I'll give you another idiom. One would be for men, if I would say to you, your fly is showing, what does that mean to you? Zip your pants up. Amen. If somebody were to tell you and they would see you talking about something and they tell you these words, you ain't nothing but an open refrigerator. Talking too much. Amen. These are idioms. When I was a boy and I was shining shoes, they had this couple of men were talking, and when he finished saying it, the man got up and left. And the man said to this other man, he said, "Bro, I need to tell you something." He said, "What's that?" He said, "There's a rooster knocking at the door of your hen house." Ooh, see that people? Like, ooh, they go, ooh. I was like, "What y'all talking about?" You know, the man got up and left, meaning there was a man at his house that shouldn't belong. Amen. I can't get no help. And it's old folk. No, a lot of people we call them. Jesus, we would say that those would be parables, but they're actually idioms. You would say a certain thing. We also call it speaking a different language so that the children wouldn't understand what you're talking about. Amen. And if your child came home with some friends and you saw those friends and the friends, you know how you raise your child, but the friends come in with the pants hanging down and the clothes sagging off of them and everybody just looking all kind of crazy. There is an old saying that my grandmother used to say when she saw something, but she wanted to make sure that I understood. She would say something like, "If you lie down with dogs, you get up with fleas." Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about today. She was basically telling me, watch your company. Amen. She was also, then there's another saying that, and I said it before, know your company. But what does that mean when you talk about when you lie down with dogs, you come up with fleas? It also means that, to make it plain, it means that if one spends time with bad people, one will eventually become just like them. Amen, church. Amen. Come on now. Y'all know what I'm coming from. But then there's another saying that says, don't judge a book by its cover. But my mama will come back and say, well, sometime the cover is right. Hallelujah, somebody. I'm already preaching today. Just don't know, but I'm already preaching. But here in this scripture, we see Paul in this fourth verse of the 20th chapter, he mentions that here he says, and they're accompanying him into Asia. They had just finished coming out of a struggle of a bad, what people didn't like them. Paul was in the land, and wherever Paul went, Paul would always disrupt people's natural habitats. If he was doing something wrong, he would wait, watch it, understand it, and he would preach to it. And one of the things that he was known for at this particular time, he was casting out demons. He was casting out spirits. And then there were these men who were trying to cast out the spirits like Paul did. And they would say, I cast you out by the name of Jesus that Paul knew. And the devil in this man stepped out and says, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? And the man got beat up because he was playing with the devil. Amen. And as Paul went and he began to teach about there was only one true and living God, he had disrupted the atmosphere, because in this land, in the land of Ephesus, people were worshiping many gods. And the main god that people were worshiping was the goddess Diana. And Diana, a lot of these silversmiths made a lot of money. You can read about this in the 19th chapter. A lot of the silversmiths were making a lot of money because people would come at certain times of the year, of the week, of the month, when they felt like they wanted to put on the show to worship a god made by hands. They would go and have the silversmith to make them a goddess. They would make them an idol god. They would do different things. You know, I want you to make it this tall. I want you to make it this size. Put this on it. And then they would go to someone else's house, and they would see how that goddess, what they had, or that idol, they would look at that idol, and they would make a comparison. And they would keep going back and forth, wanting them to, the silversmiths, to keep making them idol gods. But Paul taught them that he serves a God that's not made by hands. But these silversmiths got upset, and one man got together with the rest of them and said, we need to get these cats out of town because they are messing up our business. So we see here in this particular chapter, after Paul had addressed him, Paul, it was now time for Paul to move on. But when Paul moved on, he always traveled, never by himself. And in this particular occasion, in verse 4, we see the people who he is traveling with. Now, when we look in the Bible and we see all of these different names, very rarely do we know where they come from. Very rarely do we know what their past is, and very rarely do we even understand who they people are, who their mama is, and what they've done, or even why they are with Paul. We don't even know. And very rarely do we even take the time out to even find out in detail who these folk are. But let me tell you, every name in the Bible has a purpose. Everyone in the church has a purpose. Every person in the Bible has a past. Every person in the church has a past. And every person in the Bible is not always recognized by their past. But if you know their name will tell them a lot about who they are. Amen. Oftentimes you may not know a person particularly as to who they are, but if you ask them their name, and they'll tell you their last name, and you say, wait a minute, who your mama? Come on, talk to me now. Who your daddy? Wait a minute, I know him. I know her. And based on what you know about them, you begin to put together what you believe the kind of person they are. Amen? So let's take a look at each of these names. But I'm really going to talk about one person. But I want to just look at each name. And after we look at all of these names real briefly, we're going to look at one person. And the question is going to come out back, know your company. First person that is mentioned is the name Sopatras. Amen. his name is actually, we see it as Sopater, but his name is actually pronounced Sopatras in the Greek, meaning his name means savior of his father. Whenever we hear of a person's name, it in the Bible, it has a couple of references. It either is when they are named, they're not just named of anything. They are named either about what they see ahead in their life or what the parents could be experiencing right then. Well, I'm here to tell you it's both. Because if a parent is experiencing something right then and they're naming their child about what they are experiencing, they will continue to live in that in their future until something happens. For example, if a child that is born in poverty, he gonna what? Live in poverty. If a child is born in riches, initially he's going to live in riches. And so that name will carry with him until he gets reestablished as something else in his life. Amen. So let's go on to the next one. The next one is Aristarchus. His name means the best ruler. Okay. Secundus, his name means fortunate. Gaius, his name means Lord. So far we have all of these good defining names. Then we get to Timotheus or Timothy. His name means honoring God. We even get to Trophimus. His name means nurturous. These all sound good. But the name that really catches me off guard is the name we pronounce in Tychicus, but his name is actually pronounced Tuchicus. His name means faithful, not faithful, but faithful. F-A-T-E-F-U-L. Faithful, not faithful, which we think we all know the definition of, but fate, F-A-T-E-F-U-L. His name, listen to this now, his name means bearing fatal power. His name means producing fatal events. It also means in our English language today, that word fateful, it means often having disastrous consequences. Can you imagine being around an individual that everything he does has a disastrous consequence? That everything he touches, it fails. That everything, every place he goes to, there's a problem. Every person he talks to, there's a fight. Every location he walks into, nobody likes him. Every time he forms a relationship, he becomes like poison. You ever known a person, every time they buy a car, it looks like the car breaks down? Every time they get a job, it looks like they lose the job. Every time they get married, it looks like they get divorced. Every time they get with something or whatever it is, it looks like something bad always happens to them. And if this person is in your midst and everybody knows this person and everybody is good, the idiom is be careful when you lie down with dogs, you'll come up with fleas, seem to come to mind. Because we have all of these good people in Paul's circle. Many of us have good circles. Many of us have awesome friends of friendly circles. But do you know your company? Can't get no help in here. Do you know your company? Here, these men were traveling with an individual that had a past that said that he was disastrous, that he was a failure, that he was never really going to be successful. He was never going to be about anything, but yet he traveled with a group of people that were awesome. If we were to see these men and tell him, don't hang out with him. But here's a question I have for us. If we say, don't lie down with the dogs, you will get fleas. What happens when the dog don't want to have fleas no more? Okay, can't get no help in here. What happens when the dog gets tired of being, of having fleas. What happens when the dog gets tired of living like a dog or being called a dog? What happens when that person that you are labeled that as a dog with fleas, what happens when they don't want to be around other dogs anymore? Where can they go? Listen to me, church. Where can they go? What happens? I mean, we even tell our children that, you listen, stop hanging around them folk because they are bad influence. Hang around some folk that's going to be something. But what happens when you hang around folk that's going to be something and yet their parents look at your child and say, that's a dog, you going to get fleas. What do you do? When your child wants to be more than what he is and he can't be around nobody. Can't get no help in this today. We are going into our 68th year. And every person in this church has a past. Every person in this church have had some issues. And everybody in this church, somebody knows something about. Amen. But at the end of the day, everybody in here who God has changed is not traveling in the circles according to their past. I can't get no help in here. Here, Paul, he lets us know that this man is a part of his circle. But if you keep reading about Tychicus, he writes also two letters on behalf of Paul. He writes a letter to the Ephesians. That letter was written by Tychicus. Glory, hallelujah. What Paul entrust the writing of his letter to an individual that everything he touches was a failure? Would Paul entrust this that would be given to us to help us form the church, to help us form ministry? Would Paul entrust this to such an individual that has a past that if everyone looked at it, people would turn their nose up at him? Church, we are living in a day where we got to make some changes. We've got to make some changes because we are so stuck on knowing the company that we are keeping. We're so stuck on who's coming to church until we forget the fact that he may have had a past, but when he met Paul, Paul introduced him to somebody that can wipe your past clean. If you read into every one of these locations that I told you about, every one of these locations from where these people came from, where it was a city where people were doing the wrong thing and doing it the right way. Doing the wrong thing, the bad stuff, they were doing it real good. Amen. Amen. They were idol worshipers, but they were worshiping idols real good. But when you look at their name, they look like they had a good upbringing. They all had great names, but did not happen this way for Tychicus. He did not have the same past that the rest of them had, but at the same time, the same Jesus that Paul and told the others about, the same Jesus Tychicus found out about. And the point is that when you come to Christ, and you know who Christ is, all of a sudden, your past ought not matter. When a person today, there is something that happens, and it's a big move in New York State right now, that when a person goes off to jail, when they come out of jail, they want to make it easier for them to get a job. Because oftentimes when a person goes to jail and they get out of jail and they go look for a job, they may talk well in the interview. They may say everything that they need to say. But as soon as their name is looked up and they see things like bad, or they see things like thief, or they see things like murderer, or rapist, a pedophile, a domestic violence, anything that has to do with something horrible, immediately what they said don't even matter.
immediately their past, well, even though they may have paid their debt to society, but all of a sudden their past is now their present. Hallelujah, somebody. When people come into church, we get excited about when they come up and they give their life to Christ. We get excited when they come to church and they lay out before the altar and they speak in tongues and they run and shout. And they work in the church and they're doing awesome and great things. But as soon as somebody says, you don't know him like I know him, all of a sudden, what he's doing right now is a reflection of his past. Instead of letting his past be the past and let what God is doing right now be where God wants to take him. We want to build this church. But I'm here to tell you, as Minister Jackson says, oh, this church is established. The question is, do you want to be a part of it? Do you want to be a part of it as the way Christ designed it to be? Paul was one where everywhere he went, he was a person that judged. If you was a Christian, you had to die. But when he met Jesus, glory, hallelujah. When he met Jesus, his outlook toward everybody he met changed. If you had a present state of being ignorant, if you had a present state of being a hellraiser, if you had a present state of being an idol worshiper, Paul would address you where you were and out of love tell you about Jesus Christ. If you accepted him and you accepted the change, your past didn't matter. But if you wanted to hold on to your past, Paul left you in your past. We've got to remember people change, y'all. I'm going to hit that rewind button. People change, y'all. The word is called expunged. I can't get no help in here. That word expunged means wipe clean. Woo, God. That word means wipe clean. That means everything bad that would affect your present is now gone. Correction. It ain't gone. It's just covered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's covered, and you can't even unseal it because at that covering is just like it's not even there. Hallelujah. That's the reason why when Christ went to the cross, glory, hallelujah, we needed to have a lamb without spot or blemish, because all through the Old Testament, when they had issues, when they had faults, when they had problems, when they had sins, they brought their sins and their sacrifice to the altar so that the priest could take their sacrifice, kill it, and then make it right with them with the blood. But the problem was this, that the priest was unclean and the lamb was filthy. And the lamb wasn't clean, so he gave God anything. But Jesus Christ, when he came on the scene, he had to address folk in their past. He had to rectify some folk in their past, and he had to take them out of their past. And he would tell them, now that you've been delivered, glory, hallelujah, I want you to sin no more. It's all right to know your company, but know this, that when a person has a past, know that right now is their present, because God has given them a future. Recognize the fact that I don't know how bad it may have looked like. We ought to listen to this. Thank you, God. One of the things that we do when people come into church and it's bad, we tolerate folk. Think about that. Think about that. We tolerate folk. We put up with them. We deal with them. We look over them because they're in the church. We should be celebrating them. We shouldn't be tolerating folk. We should be celebrating folk. When people come out of the world and got the strength to put one foot past that door, we got to learn how to celebrate them. Then we tolerate them. We got to stop telling them you're going to be all right eventually. We got to tell them you are all right. You are better. God has brought you from a mighty long way. Even though they may have been to jail, even though they may have been prostitutes or drug addicts, just because they did drugs yesterday and God said, come in the church today, we cannot hold yesterday against them, because if we do, we're tolerating them and not celebrating them. We got to celebrate folk when they come in. We don't celebrate their past. We celebrate their deliverer. When people come to the church and they come in, we got to remember that the same Jesus that died for us, the same Jesus that became the Lamb, the same Jesus that became the priest, the same Jesus that shed the blood, is the same Jesus that did it for me, is the same Jesus that did it for them. It's all right to know your company, but know this, celebrate your company. Celebrate the fact that if God brought them to you, God has put something in you to change their life. When God told Moses to get them 70 and two elders, hallelujah, and he brought them into the tabernacle, glory, hallelujah, the Bible tells us that God took of that Holy Ghost, that God took of that spirit that was upon, that was within Moses. He took it from Moses and spread over everybody in the tabernacle. What am I saying? I'm saying that when God brings folks into your company, you ought to have enough Holy Ghost that their past don't matter. You ought to have enough Holy Ghost that when you see them, you ought to see their future rather than their past. When you see them, you ought to see their upcoming instead of their put down. When you see them, you ought to be, that ought to be a testimony that look what God is about to do. Because if God can bring you out of jail, if God can bring you out of debt, if God can do all of these things for you, can't God do it for them? And if we know God can do it for them, the reason why we celebrate God. When you celebrate them, you celebrate God. And here's the other thing we have to do about a job at defending them. We got to do a better job at defending folk. When other folk want to bring up their past, we ought to be the first one. And look, I'm going to tell you what Paul says about Tychicus. I'm going to give you the words that he says. He says this in Ephesians 6:21. He says, but ye also may know my affairs. And how I do. This is how much he's trusting him. He says, Tychicus, he calls him a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord. Hallelujah. You want to hold them to their past, but their present is a faithful minister and a brother, a beloved brother. Your sister is a beloved sister, a beloved brother, a beloved minister in the Lord. When that person walks through the door, every person that comes and gives their life to Christ, God is going to use them. God is going to use them for his purpose, because there is, just as there's one that comes in with that same past, there are millions other that have yet to come in. There are millions that have yet to come in. And St. Paul, if we want not just online, but the church to blow up, don't do it because we want it to happen. We ought to do it because this is what God has said. Because God has said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. So if the gates of hell will not prevail against his church, why aren't we defending each other better? Why aren't we defending each other better? Why aren't we, instead of us putting them down or joining into the conversation with others, why aren't we correcting folks? Ain't just praying, my sister. Sometimes we got to have some serious conversations with folk and tell folk you're wrong. We got to learn how to tell each other as Christians when we're treating another Christian wrong. I can't get no help on that one either. I don't care how long you've been in the church. If you've been treating another Christian wrong just because you know them longer, just because they got good words and they sound good when you talk to them and you laugh and you talk, don't mean they always right. Every Christian can get correction. Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. But we got to be careful how we use that open rebuke. Because sometimes when we use open rebuke, we try to get an audience for ourselves. We're not trying to help nobody. We're trying to lift ourselves up. There are too many folk that don't know Jesus for us to put them down when they're trying to get to know him. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for his grace, y'all talk to me in here. If it wasn't for God's grace, if it wasn't for the grace of God, there go I. We talk about the drug addict. We talk about the prisoner. But here's the thing. They got caught, but not us. That's the thing. If we look at it, if we really pay attention, when we hear folks testify and about how they got put in these situations, and I think about myself, I said, ooh, that could have been me. That could have been each and every one of us in here. The difference is they got caught and we didn't. The Bible says ain't none righteous but one. No matter how long you've been a pastor, a preacher, Christian, member of St. Paul, ain't nobody righteous but one. And we've got to remember that. When new people come to Christ, that Christ loves them too. If he didn't love him, he wouldn't have died for him. I know I'm not hollering like y'all want me to, but I'm just trying to help us with this today. This is how the church gets built. Not the walls, but us. There is growth happening right now in this church. There is growth happening in our mortal bodies, in our souls, in our spirits, because we are getting the word. Here's the thing. You can get the word, but we got to live this word. We got to live this word because contrary to many of our opinions, people ain't looking at you. They are attracted to the anointing that you carry. Let me hit that rewind button again. People are not attracted to you. They are attracted to the anointing that God has placed in your life. The anointing of change, the anointing of forgiveness, the anointing of love. All of that is because of the Holy Ghost. You can't take any credit for anything that you say, any help that you provide, any guidance you grant them. You cannot take any credit, but you got to give all glory unto God. Every one of us in here got a past. My past may not be your past, but based on popularity, some of us, our past be held over one person's head versus another. And that's the church. That's the church. That's the body, not the church. That's the body of Christ. That's us. Tomorrow is not promised, y'all. Don't let how we often talk about unforgiveness and how if you don't forgive somebody, you're not going to make it in. Well, how about this? Holding somebody hostage to their past will do the same thing. I said it again. Holding somebody hostage to their past will do the same thing. Do y'all hear me? Glory, hallelujah. We've got to remember that nobody came in perfect. Nobody came, thank you, Jesus. Nobody came in this world perfect. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if you want to be delivered,
Deliverance is not just received, but deliverance is practice. Do y'all hear me? Deliverance is practice. One of the things that is taught in the Bible that we don't teach a lot about, hold on position, and that is, the scripture says, whoever sins you forgive, their sins shall be forgiven. Scripture. And whoever sins you don't forgive, their sins will not be forgiven. Scripture. But here's the thing. Whatever judgment you use in saying that they are forgiven or not forgiven, that same judgment will come back upon you. Bible. Do y'all hear me? Bible. Mother. Mm-mm. Mother.
Hallelujah. Thank God for the baby.
We got to make the amen, mother.
My God.
We want her to feel welcome too. Amen. You're welcome, sweetheart. We want her to feel welcome too. Did you see how the word just happened right then? Did y'all see how the word just came right in right then? She didn't even stay long. But here's the question. How did she feel when she... How did she feel when she left? And you know what she did? She even left her offering. We don't know who God goes, Jesus, who God is going to send up in here. That's been prophesied many times. God going to send folk in here that won't look like us. But we have a duty to make them feel loved.
That's right.
Again, going back to the tolerating and the celebrating. The simple fact that she mustered up enough strength to walk through the... We don't know how much strength it takes for an individual on some days just to walk into the church. You don't know what folk is struggling with. We don't know what folks are dealing with in the world, but to come up in the church, as I said, we all got a pass. To walk in the church and have everybody judge me based on how I look. That's exactly what happened. Soon as she walked in, the word was already at work, but you forgot about the word and you began to judge her. I'm going to tell you, wrong. It ain't just one person. We don't know why Mother Grace wanted to get her attention. But at the same time, there were some folks was glad for her to leave. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Don't let another person's past make you uncomfortable. Because again, God received you when nobody else wanted you. Do y'all hear me today? God sent that young lady in here at the moment. We don't know what that little piece she said. She heard a little piece, clapped her hands, left her offering and left. Sometimes it's just enough. But here's the thing, when she hit the door, nobody welcomed her. When she walked down the aisle, nobody welcomed her. Nobody made her feel like she belonged. When she walked down the aisle, we look at folk, we don't say nothing, but our facial expression say a lot. Contrary to everybody's opinion, we all been dogs with fleas. Every one of us, a was a former dog with fleas. And somebody had to tell you, come on in with your flea-ridden self. And I will wash you with the word. The word knows how to get the fleas off. The word knows how to change you from being a dog like an animal to D-O-G, to one dependent on God. St. Paul, God is speaking to us today. Speaking to us today. Don't just say we got work to do. We need to be working. We need to be working. That just messed me all up. Amen. We can know the company that we keep, but if you want to love the company, if you don't want to love your company, you can't even call yourself a Christian. We can't even call ourselves a Christian because we're not loving them as Christ loved them. When Christ, thank you, Jesus. Let me find this record to say this. Then we'll be through. I'm sorry. Look, I just got to go here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm trying to find, but there is a scripture that says a man was talking to Jesus and Jesus was giving a parable, and the man was talking about that he gives his tithes and that he fasts twice a week. But he thanked God that he wasn't like this man who was a publican. But then the publican said he didn't even look his head up toward heaven, but he beat his hand on his chest and said, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, that's one, not the tithe payer, not the faster, not the judger, but the one that don't mind coming to God and say, have mercy on me, a sinner. That need to be our prayer every day. We are all sinners saved by grace. Amen, somebody. We are all sinners saved by grace. Grace. Stand to your feet, y'all. Hallelujah. Okay. We are not going to do communion today. We're not going to do communion today. Because after that, we got some hard work to do. We got some hard work to do. We cannot drink damnation upon us when we just created an alt in ourselves. So I can't let us drink that. Because communion is not just about a ritual. It's about the new covenant that's in his blood. It's a lot right now. And we don't want to get ourselves in trouble. So we're not going to do that. If anything we're going to do, we need to come to the altar. Amen. You don't have to get out your seats if you don't want to. But we can keep spatial social distance if we want. But the altar is here. And we need to cast that out of us. Because that is something we cannot have in ourselves. Our children are watching us. Facebook is hearing us. The world is seeing us. Not just us, other churches. Where does the messed up go when they want to get right?
Where do they go? We don't want the righteous to hang out with the downtrodden. But where do the downtrodden go when they want to get right? They ought to be able to come here. This is the sanctuary. Means peace. People need to be able to come here and get peace. Not struggle with what they're struggling with out there. Come in here and find peace. There are folk in here who may not be dressed like her, but you are the same as her. Have mercy, Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come today, God, to say, God, please forgive us. Have mercy, Jesus. Forgive us, God. Forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. Oh, God, forgive us. God, please forgive us. Oh, Jesus, we need forgiveness. But God, as we have seen, oh, God, we come to repent as well. Every one of us in here, God, we coming with a repentant heart to say, God, not only that we are sorry, but we want to do right. We want to be better. We want to embrace the unloved. Help us to do so. We want to embrace them that don't feel like that they have a chance. Help us to embrace them. Father God, there are those that are struggling with lifestyles. Father God, help us to embrace them, but not just embrace them, but lead them by our examples of love. Have mercy, Jesus. In all of our homes, oh God, there is a reflection of somebody that needs to be delivered. And some of us, oh God, are embarrassed to even tell you about it. But Father God, as we are here today at this time, Father God, help us to be the example of Jesus Christ. People need to see Jesus in us. We need to remember that love covers a multitude of sin. We can't even count the number of how much sin it covers. But God, one thing we do know is that your love covers our sins. And because we say we are saved, you know the heart. Your word, Jesus, says that you live in us, and says you live in us, the Father has to live within us. And then, but there's also the Holy Ghost that has to live within us too. Help us reflect that which lives inside of us. Help us reflect Jesus in our talk, in our walk, but most importantly, in our touch, in our embrace, and in our love. Father God, as we leave this place and not out of your sight, Father God, I come again asking you, God, to please forgive us. We thank Jesus for how he died on the cross, fulfilling the Old Testament. But he told his disciples, he said, I take it, Jesus. I give you a new commandment. And he said these words, that you love one another. Help us to love each other as Christ commanded. If we love each other like Christ commanded, people will seek to be made whole. People to seek how not to sin. People will seek how to live holy as God is holy. Help us to be the example of who God is to us. Father God, and as we get ready to give our offering and tithes today, Father God, forgive us before we give that to you. We don't want our offering and tithes to be a reflection of our
hearts as they were. We want our hearts, we want our offering and tithes to be a reflection of the love that you have placed inside of us. Don't let our sins taint our offering to you, O God. For Father God, we give it to you because out of not only just obedience, but also, Heavenly Father, out of love. Love to you. Help us to love one another who we can see, like we love you who we don't see. As we leave this place, God, and not out of your sight, let the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost rest, rule, and abide with us as we leave here and until we die. In Jesus' name, let the whole church say amen. If you can, give God some praise.